Hey guys, so today you and I are going to talk about automated tests. So let's get into it. So the question was, Frederick, how does your organization do automated tests? For example, unit tests, functional tests, and integration tests. Well, I can walk you through how I do it with the team that I have, the teams now that I'm sort of responsible for. So first and foremost, let's talk about the unit testing. So we have like the standard practices, as you can imagine, with unit testing. So we have a CI pipeline. We run that through GitHub Actions, where we basically have a job that's going to run on every pull request and every merge request and every new push to the story brands that they're working on. And as part of that, the test hook, or like we in this case we're running, you're working in TypeScript, it's going to run our suite of unit tests. In this case we're using Jest as the test runner, and then that runs all the tests, and we also have visual regression tests because we're working with React. For that we're using Perse.io, which is a service that helps you manage, basically it's snapshot testing, visual snapshot tests, where you compare images of components. So you basically you spin up a, it doesn't have to be, but we are using Storybook, where we visually represent the components. We add stories to our for our different components, and then we create the different states for how to display them in Storybook. And then Perse crawls the Storybook server's endpoints and just goes through all of them and creates a pixel diff of the to compare with. So if you make a breaking change to the visual component, you will see that there was a regression. So we don't really have much in terms of rules and practices. Like I don't believe that it is for, I know all the theory behind test-driven development, or at least I feel fairly informed on the topic, and I've never seen forcing people to use it as a viable option. So the only rule we really have is that we try to Boy Scout the problem, because unfortunately, again, it's difficult to say that you should always add unit tests on every story, or like you should, I mean, for the code that you are writing, for sure. But the reality is that that is something that you have to ingrain into the software developers, and it's easy for me to just ask about tests, and so we try to always ask about tests, but there are exceptions. Sometimes you're fixing something very small or something like that, and you have to be a little bit pragmatic about the whole thing. The way that I try to keep our teams honest about actually committing to writing unit tests is through using coverage. I have a coverage control, which is built into Jest. You can get a coverage report built based on the CLI. It's just going to spit out an LCOV file, or well, it doesn't have to be an LCOV file. You're going to be able to see the coverage of the code that you have. And so what I do is that we've also added a coverage threshold, which will break if you lower the threshold below the current maximum, or like the new threshold. And then we have a rotation of a week where we bump that number every week, and we do that manually. It's just a reminder we have in our Slack channel that just tells us bump the number, and then it takes 2 minutes to bump the number. And we've seen that that works pretty well. It's not going to help you with the quality of the unit tests, which is, that's why you have to foster a culture of good testing practices within the team. But because we can't be religious about always forcing people to do things, we need to have a reminder system. Because if you get to pick, as this has never failed, I've never seen it not go this way. If you tell people you can do it when it feels appropriate, it's very rarely that you're going to see consistent improvements, because when people are going to do it a little bit when they feel like it, they tend to never do it or very rarely do it. And so you need a way to make sure that people are reminded to actually do it. And so this works really well for that. So these are the two main ways we do the front-end tests and so forth. But we also have another layer where we use end-to-end testing, We are using Selenium WebDriver for that, and then we are using the Cucumber.js, in this case, runner, to basically run feature files. If you know about behavioral driven development or BDD, you should be familiar with that, when the basic idea is that you define the scope of a story in a feature file, where you define a feature and the scenarios that are associated with that feature, and basically go through what happens if A, B, and C happens, what happens if A, B, C, D, and D, you know, etc., etc. You just go through the different cases of how someone can interact with a feature that you have in the system. And then we have two runners for that. We have one runner that runs on every pull request. So when a pull request is about to be merged to master, because we use a trunk-based system, it's going to run, it pulls the code, deploys it to a Kubernetes cluster, spins up all of the environments and like the dependencies we have, runs the suite and reports back to our GitHub action through GitHub Actions if the test passed or not, and that's the first one. And if it passes, you can merge, otherwise you can't merge. And then in the second case, we have a runner that runs on a schedule. I think it runs every 2 hours or something like that, every hour, something like that, and that runs towards production, where we actually run the suite on a loop in production, because we do testing production as well. The main reason behind that is because the application that these specific teams are dealing with is an internal system, and so it's very useful for you to simulate constant traffic, because the problem with having internal systems where you might not have so many users is that you can cause a regression, but you don't find out about the regression until it's too late, because every single user is valuable for us in terms of the functionality has to be available at all times. If you have a live site with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of users all the time, then you're going to get feedback very quickly, because if something broke, the feature is very likely being used as within a few minutes of releasing. But that's not the case here. In this case scenario, it might be a very bad situation where you might find out that that really important feature that, I don't know, handles the payment of all the salaries, it's not working, and it's not working on the exact day that everybody's supposed to get paid. That's very bad. So simulating in production, or simulating traffic, constant traffic across all features, is a very useful thing. So these are the main ways that we are running it. We also are experimenting. Well, we are adopting contract-based testing as well, which is an initiative that I'm trying to help drive a little bit, where the idea is basically that we have multiple backend APIs that we are connecting to. And the issue we have right now, one of the big issues, is that we have a lot of inconsistencies between expectations of how the API works and what it actually does. The classic, documentation is out of date. Functionality that is documented is not actually correct. Behaviors are completely inconsistent. And so what we're trying to do is to add a contract-based testing, which is a big challenge in a distributed team environment, because basically what it requires you is to have a consumer implementation and a provider implementation, and then you synchronize between those two, between the provider of the API and the consumer, which in this case is us, the consumer. And we've had some struggles trying to get other teams to actually do the provider part, because as you can imagine, a team that doesn't give two shits about keeping their APIs consistent and their documentation up to date, they're not so likely to do implementations of something that is actually more work than just keeping the documentation up to date. But it's an ongoing battle, and I think we will, I have a few ideas on how to fix that. So I think it's overall going pretty well. So what I want you to take away from this is that the way that my organization, at the very least the one that I'm part of right now, does automated testing is that we fundamentally use unit testing, try to use coverage tracking in order to make sure that people are committing to writing better and better unit tests, and then we try to Boy Scout as much as possible. Like, we try to foster an environment where the biggest killer to improving your unit test coverage is the thing that a lot of developers do, and that is they go to a piece of legacy code that is untested, and then they either don't want to or they don't feel like they should rewrite that code so that it is testable. And I coach the teams over and over and over into that, and I say, guys, code is not constant, it is mutable, change it. If it makes it hard for you to write your tests for this code, rewrite it. I will back you up on this, I promise you I will. And all the managers have already said that they don't care how long it takes, it doesn't matter if it takes 2 days or 5 days, that is irrelevant. Just improve the situation so that we can actually move forward with quality tests and so forth. So that's the thing that we're doing at the unit test level, and then that runs on in the CI pipeline, of course. We also use visual regression testing in order to check visual differences between like UI components and so forth. We use contract-based testing in order to improve our expectation in API, because integration testing becomes very difficult in a large system where there's a lot of services, and contract-based testing is a very effective way for you to actually deal with integration testing without having to go all the way up to, which we also of course do, but we want to limit the amount of BDD tests we run, because BDD tests in production, for example, is one of the things we do as well, which is the ultimate test basically, where because you're actually using the system in production. And I don't have super long to, I can't go in exactly into how we deal with all the cases for that, but we do both the production BDD test and we do pull request BDD test, so that we do it becomes sort of a blue-green type of implementation where we test the code before we merge it and deploy it out into production, even though we're also running it in production. I would say that covers at least the bulk of how we do automated testing in my organization. Have a great day.